March 31st. We begin our Bible reading as usual today here in the Old Testament. And our narrative today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 1. We'll read through chapter 17, verse 20. We'll see that from the seven feasts on the Jewish calendar, Moses selected three to emphasize, and they bear a message to the believer today. Passover. Well, Passover, of course, looks to the past and reminds us that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Redemption brings responsibility, of course, feeding on the Lamb and removing from our lives all things that are wrong. Pentecost. Well, this speaks of renewal and the coming of the Spirit of God to His people. It's a harvest festival that calls us to enter into His service and help reap the harvest. And Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. This reminded the Jews that they had lived in booths as a pilgrim people in the wilderness. We are sojourners and pilgrims in this world and must not get too settled down. Tabernacles also looks to the future kingdom that God has promised His people when their pilgrim journey is ended. We need these three reminders today, lest we forget our redemption responsibilities. Well, let's begin to read about it now, here in the Old Testament. March 31st, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, through chapter 17, verse 20. In honor of the Lord your God, always celebrate the Passover at the proper time in early spring, for that was when the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or the herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the place He chooses for His name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast. For 7 days eat only bread made without yeast, as you did when you escaped from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, the bread of suffering, so that you will remember the day you departed from Egypt as long as you live. Let no yeast be found in any house throughout your land for 7 days. And do not let any of the meat of the Passover lamb remain until the next morning. The Passover must not be eaten in the towns that the Lord your God is giving you. It must be offered at the place the Lord your God will choose for His name to be honored. Sacrifice it there as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then go back to your tents the next morning. For the next 6 days, you may not eat bread made with yeast. On the 7th day, the people must assemble before the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day. Count off 7 weeks from the beginning of your grain harvest. Then you must celebrate the festival of harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring Him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from Him. It is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the place He chooses for His name to be honored. Celebrate with your whole family, all your servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, orphans, and widows who live among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all these laws. Another celebration, the Festival of Shelters, must be observed for 7 days at the end of the harvest season, after the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed. This festival will be a happy time of rejoicing with your family, your servants, and with the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. For 7 days, celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place He chooses. For it is the Lord your God who gives you bountiful harvests and blesses all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Each year, every man in Israel must celebrate these three festivals: the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Festival of Harvest, and the Festival of Shelters. They must appear before the Lord your God at the place He chooses on each of these occasions, and they must bring a gift to the Lord. All must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in all the towns the Lord your God is giving you. They will judge the people fairly throughout the land. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe. For bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You must never set up an Asherah pole beside the altar of the Lord your God, and never set up sacred pillars for worship, for the Lord your God hates them. Never sacrifice a sick or defective ox or sheep to the Lord your God, for he detests such gifts. Suppose a man or woman among you, in one of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, has done evil in the sight of the Lord your God, and has violated the covenant by serving other gods, or by worshiping the sun, the moon, or any of the forces of heaven, which I have strictly forbidden. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly. If it is true that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then that man or woman must be taken to the gates of the town and stoned to death. But never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be at least two or three witnesses. The witnesses must throw the first stones, and then all the people will join in. In this way you will purge all evil from among you. Suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide. For instance, whether someone is guilty of murder, or only of manslaughter, or a difficult lawsuit, or a case involving different kinds of assault. Take such cases to the place the Lord your God will choose, where the Levitical priests and the judge on duty will hear the case and decide what to do. The decision they make at the place the Lord chooses will always stand. You must do exactly what they say. After they have interpreted the law and reached a verdict, the sentence they impose must be fully executed. Do not modify it in any way. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or of the priest who represents the Lord your God must be put to death. Such evil must be purged from Israel. Then everyone will hear about it and be afraid to act so arrogantly. You will soon arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, and you will conquer it and settle there. Then you may begin to think, we ought to have a king like the other nations around us. If this happens, be sure that you select as king the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite, not a foreigner. The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself, and he must never send his people to Egypt to buy horses there, for the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. The king must not take many wives for himself, because they will lead him away from the Lord. And he must not accumulate vast amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself. When he sits on the throne as king, he must copy these laws on a scroll for himself in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep this copy of the law with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way, he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of this law. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. This will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. March 31st. Our reading in the New Testament today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 7 through 27. We'll read about the fact that Christ enables us. How could 12 men feed 5,000 people? Only through the enabling of the Lord. For he did the miracle. They only distributed the blessing. And it's true in our lives as well today. We are not the source of blessing to others. We're conduits of God's love, mercy, grace, and empowering presence. We're the conduits through which the real source flows. Christ is looking for clean, empty hands that he can fill. We'll read about the fact that Christ encourages us. If you confess Christ as Son of God and Savior, and take up your cross and follow him, he will reveal to you his kingdom and his glory. When you experience the glory of God, the demands of discipleship become blessings that carry you along in joyful obedience. Do you have that treasure yet? Have you moved from a mere head belief into a heart, all-encompassing relationship? That's the only way you know about his kingdom. We'll read about the fact that Christ endures us. Now, what strange words from the lips of Jesus. He says, "How long shall I be with you and bear with you?" See, he must bear with our unbelief and failure, our spiritual blindness, our pride, and most importantly, our lack of love, and our lack of dedication. Well, let me ask you, is Jesus blessing you or bearing with you? Sometimes I feel that the Lord is blessing me, and sometimes I have to admit that I just feel like he's bearing with me. But he will fill us with his Spirit, and we will be a blessing to others as we look to him and keep our hearts clean. Our prayers should daily be, "Lord, create in us a clean heart, renew within us a right spirit." And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 31st, the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 7 through 27. When reports of Jesus' miracles reached Herod Antipas, he was worried and puzzled, because some were saying, "This is John the Baptist come back to life again." Others were saying, "It is Elijah, or some other ancient prophet risen from the dead." "I beheaded John," Herod said. "So who is this man about whom I hear such strange stories?" And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. And he welcomed them, teaching them about the kingdom of God and curing those who were ill. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this deserted place." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "Impossible," they protested. "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" For there were about 5,000 men there. "Just tell them to sit down on the ground in groups of about 50 each," Jesus replied. So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples to give to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. One day, as Jesus was alone, praying, he came over to his disciples and asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead." Then he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah, sent from God." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about this. "For I, the Son of Man, must suffer many terrible things," he said. "I will be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. I will be killed, but 3 days later I will be raised from the dead." Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit your own soul in the process? If a person is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in my glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. And I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God. Psalm 72, verses 1 through 20. Solomon prayed for blessing on his reign when he followed David. A young man, Solomon knew he could not succeed without the help of the Lord. The psalm also pictures our Lord Jesus when he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Solomon asked for wisdom to administer justice to his people, and God granted his request. His reign was like a refreshing shower that made the earth fruitful and beautiful. God can give you wisdom for your tasks, and he will. We have to ask him, and he'll make you a blessing to others. Do you bring refreshing showers, or are you part of the problem? Do you bring storms? Well, peace and security prospered while Solomon was on the throne, and Israel's domain was extended. Of course, verses 8 through 11 especially apply to the Lord Jesus and his glorious reign yet to come. So these verses are prophetic in that regard. But he can give you peace and safety today as you yield to him. See, he wants you to reign in life right now. But the only way that you can reign in life is if he reigns in your heart. God's purpose is to fill the whole earth with his glory as he unites all things in Christ. Are you helping to extend his glory on the earth? Psalm 72, verses 1 through 20, a psalm of Solomon. Give justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Help him judge your people in the right way. Let the poor always be treated fairly. May the mountains yield prosperity for all, and may the hills be fruitful, because the king does what is right. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy, and to crush their oppressors. May he live as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon continues in the skies, yes, forever. May his reign be as refreshing as the springtime rains, like the showers that water the earth. May all the godly flourish during his reign. May there be abundant prosperity until the end of time. May he reign from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Desert nomads will bow before him. His enemies will fall before him in the dust. The western kings of Tarshish and the islands will bring him tribute. The eastern kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow before him, and all nations will serve him. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed, who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will save them from oppression and from violence, for their lives are precious to him. Long live the king! May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May the people always pray for him and bless him all day long. May there be abundant crops throughout the land, flourishing even on the mountaintops. May the fruit trees flourish as they do in Lebanon, sprouting up like grass in a field. May the king's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. Bless the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Bless his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This ends the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Everyone admires a person with good sense, but a warped mind is despised. It is better to be a nobody with a servant than to be self-important but have no food.